Well, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Hebrews 12 and verse 25 seem to be in Hebrews a lot in recent times. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. Just pray while you're finding it. Father, we thank you for our time already in your presence. We thank you that we've just had such a sense of your presence, your reality. We pray, Lord, that now that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice, that you would minister to us, that we would be drawn closer to you. Lord, that our hearts would be renewed, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 12. Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We may have experienced in our own lives, even in recent days, that shaking. It may be something that is just on the horizon for us and we don't even realise it. It's as if we're in a place of what we feel is of security and just ahead of us is a shaking. We look at the world and we can see the shaking that is going on, the things that God is doing, and to realize that God is sovereign and that nothing happens by chance, and that's the reality that we see as believers. We know that nothing happens by chance, that God is in control, and everything that is happening in the world, that shaking is the work of God. God shaking these things. But the thing is that when a shaking happens, when an earthquake happens, it's very easy to be very fearful. It's very easy to have our hearts troubled. It's our heart to cease from being at rest. And really what I want to share this morning is really how we can have a heart that's at rest. A heart that's at peace no matter what is happening. And to be in that place where we are walking in the freedom of that peace. And to understand what the Lord is doing. What the Lord is doing in our own hearts. What the Lord is doing in our own experience. To understand what the Lord is doing in the world. And one of the things that we have to first of all understand is why does the Lord shake things? Why does the Lord bring shaking in our own experience? Why is the Lord bringing a shaking across the world? Why does he do these things? Why does he bring it talks about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And one of the first things I find so helpful right at the beginning of Matthew 24, and it's quite extraordinary a situation, really, because it says, and Jesus went out, it says, beginning of Matthew 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, these shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. We look at that and we think here the disciples are showing him the buildings of the temple. It's quite extraordinary. They're saying, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at this magnificent temple. And here they are. They're pointing out this to God come in the flesh. The very one who has given the temple. The temple, as it were, a gift to his people. And he's the one who's, as it were, designed it, said that it was to be built. And they're showing him, look at the magnificence of it. Look at the beauty of it. And he says, not one stone will remain upon another. Why? Why? He's saying, you've fixed your eyes upon this. And you've gloried in the magnificence of it. You've gloried in the beauty of it. You've put your trust in it. And he's saying, it's about me. It's about me. It's about Christ. It's the one who you see before you. This is what it's about. And because it's now about me, so the temple must be destroyed. Because I'm now the temple. I'm now the one that you are now it's all about me. And everything there that they were glorying in, they're trusting in, their confidence was in, he's saying that's all got to go. And we look in our own lives, in our own situations, and we can have confidence in many things. We can have confidence in our talent, and in our confidence in our experiences. We have confidence in all sorts of things that the things that we've gathered together, so that we have that security. And we say, my security is in the Lord, my confidence is in the Lord, my trust is in the Lord. But how do we feel? How would we feel if everything else was taken away from us right now, in this moment? Supposing you were to go back to your house, or I was to go back to my house and find it's burnt down. You see, we say, oh, my confidence is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. It's all about Christ. But what if everything is taken away? What if everything is taken away? Then we're challenged. Then our hearts are searched. Then we're brought to a place. And the Lord says that he is shaking everything that can be shaken. There's that final shaking. But in that process from Christ coming and death and resurrection and going back to be with the Father, even to now, yes, we know there's a final shaking. But in between, there are various shakings. There are various shakings in our own life. There are various shakings in the world. And we can almost see it like tremors in an earthquake. We can see it as you have, they talk in some countries about the big one. The big one. I hear that they often talk about the one in America, that they're waiting for what they call the big earthquake, the big one. And all leading up to it, there are various earthquakes. But they're waiting for the big one. But you see, in our lives, we can find ourselves in an experience of a shaking. And we say, Lord, why is this happening? And we can get fearful. We can get troubled. Something happens in our lives and we're troubled. We're fearful. We can be beside ourselves. It's almost like waking up in the midst of an earthquake. And even in this country, we get these kind of little tremors, and it might happen at night, and you wake up, and you feel the shaking, and you're saying, "What's this?" And I believe that for some of us, and maybe all of us, we know this experience of what is this? What is going on? And we don't understand it, and we're troubled. And really, what I want to share this morning is how can we be at peace? And how can we be at rest? Because the Lord says that he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. In our experience, in our personal lives, in the world, there is this shaking going on. And we can expect it. If we're not feeling it now, the days will come when we will experience it. We may be saying, well, I'm not knowing the shaking today. Well, tomorrow the shaking will come. And we will, and we, how can we have that peace? And how can we have that rest? Because the unbeliever, when that shaking comes, and that serious shaking comes, will be fearful, will be beside themselves. But how can we have that peace? And I believe that we find it in the very words, in these verses immediately after he speaks of this shaking. He says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That's the first thing. Now we have to understand, when the Lord talked about the kingdom, he was talking about himself. And we're receiving a kingdom. And there's a sense in which we've already received the kingdom. It says that we have to come as little children if we're to receive the kingdom. And there's a sense in which we, when we first trusted the Lord, we received the kingdom. We received the lordship of Christ. We received him as Lord, as our King. We can say today, he is my Lord and my King. But we are also receiving a kingdom, because we are being taken from glory into ever increasing glory. We're knowing more and more of the lordship of Christ. We're taking into a place where we're knowing him, as it were, more and more as our King. It's him taking more and more authority over every area of our lives, and there's still that areas in our lives where we need to submit to him, where maybe our lives are like a house with different rooms, and we say, oh, this room, we don't want you to touch that room, Lord. I don't want you to touch that room. You can have the rest, but that room is not, it is out of bounds. And he's saying, I must have all of you. I must have the whole of your being. And the first thing is that if we're going to have that peace and that rest, when the shaking comes, we have to realize that what the Lord is doing is to bring us into that place where he is King over everything. It's him as Lord over all. And to realize that what he is interested in is us receiving that kingdom. That is, he is more concerned with us knowing his lordship over every area of our lives than our ease in the day to day of life. That's what he's more interested in. He's more interested in my submission to him and him being Lord over every room, if you like, of my life, of my house, as it were, my life being a house. He's more interested in the Lord Jesus being Lord over every room than the fact that I might be at ease and that I might have anything else. Because then my confidence is in those things. My confidence is not in the Lord. And if I'm living like that, then I can't say Jesus is all I need. Am I really saying that Jesus is all I need? Now, when the shaking comes, if I'm in a position where I say, where I really am living the reality of Jesus is all I need, it won't matter what happens to me. Even, and this is a challenge, even to the gifts that God has given us. I remember someone sharing with me, another Christian, a bit older than I was. And he said, sometimes the Lord has to take away a gift from you in order for you to not, as it were, put your confidence in the gift, and as it were, to see your value in the gift and these things, and so that your whole trust is in the Lord. And he said he experienced that. He experienced a gift from God being taken away from him, and then it was only later that it was given back to him, because God was saying it has to be me. Not even the gifts that have come from me. It was the same with the temple. The temple had to be destroyed because their confidence was in the temple. It had to be in Christ. And we look and we say, oh, I'm experiencing these shakings. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. But understand that the Lord is giving you the kingdom. He's saying you're receiving the kingdom. And as I shake these things, you're receiving the kingdom because of what I'm doing. And so we have to first of all understand that we are receiving a kingdom. It's not just that we've received a kingdom, that we've taken Christ as our Lord. But he's now working that out in its reality and in its fullness. And we say, oh, that this shaking is too much for me to bear. No, it's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwelling in every area of our lives. Me experiencing him and him alone. And then, if we really are in that place where our confidence is in the Lord, where we're just trusting him and depending upon him, then when we see the shakings taking a place in the world, when we're feel like we're surrounded by it, we'll say, no, my confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is not in these things. And I understand what the Lord is doing. And then he says something else. He says, let us have grace. Now, I know in some translations it speaks of thanksgiving, but the word here is grace. And it's all the, if you think of grace, all the riches, all the life of Christ, all the virtue being poured into us. You say, here is the shaking going on. We look at the world and things. We know that things are going to get worse. The shaking's going to get worse. And there will be many people who are troubled and be overawed by and overwhelmed by these things. They'll be overwhelmed by the things that are going around us. But how can the believer have peace when everything else is being full of trouble? It says, let us have grace. It needs the very life of Christ. It needs Christ coming and filling our hearts. It has to be all about Christ. It has to be his life. That's the only way. That's the only way. When everything else is being shaken, everything else is being taken away, it has to be just us being full of Christ. That's how we will stand. That's how we will have rest and peace, because we will be full of his grace. It's now me saying, the riches of this earth, the beauty of this earth, the glory of this earth, the gifts, the talents, the everything, the wisdom of this world, nothing. It's all worthless, because it's Christ, and it's Christ dwelling in me. And he says, I've given you Christ. And that's how we're going to endure. And that's how we're going to stand firm. And that's how we're going to have peace. And that's how we're going to be set free from fear, no matter what happens in this world. And all around us, the trouble and the problems and the things that are happening that can make us quake with fear. He says, no, it's Christ filling your heart. Now, then you will be at peace and you'll be at rest. There'll be a rest in your heart. And it's saying, oh, it says, let us have grace. We come and say, Lord, I need the fullness of you in my heart. That's all I need. I need your life. I need your wisdom. I need your righteousness. I need your love. I need your glory. I need everything that you are. Because you've given everything that you are to me, therefore I'm receiving everything that you are into my life and into my heart. And if I've got the fullness of Christ, his glory, his him in heaven, if I've got all of him in my life, then it doesn't matter what's happening, because I will be at rest, I will be at peace, because I will have the Prince of Peace. I will have the fullness of Jesus. And that's what each one of our experience can be. And then he says, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The fear of God will cast out all fear. It's an extraordinary thing. But the fear of God is the very thing that will cast out your fear. If you're in fear of what's happening, maybe in something that's going on in your own life, maybe you're troubled because there is an overwhelmed sense that's coming in your heart because of what the things are going on. And maybe you hear people talking about what must happen in the future prior to the Lord's return. Maybe that causes you fear. Maybe that troubles your heart. Maybe that causes you a lack of peace and rest. Maybe all of these things cause you to lose that rest and lose that peace. Let me tell you, just get the fear of God. And the fear of man and the fear of this world will go in an instant. And that fear, that godly fear, is an awe of God. It's just an awe of God. It's just seeing God. And it's saying he's on the throne. He's in control of all things. He's Lord of all. He's got me in his hands. And he's all powerful. And I'm just going to bow down before him. And I'm going to kneel before him. And I'm going to lie prostrate before him. And then I'm just going to be caught up with him and the glory of him. That will cast out all fear. When you see God high above all, you see him in his majesty, and you're just in awe of God, that will cast out all the fear that's in your heart, all the trouble that's in your heart, all the restlessness in your heart. It will go in an instant, because the fear of God casts out all other fear. It's a godly fear. It's a godly awe. It's just seeing him in his greatness and in his majesty. And it says that whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When it speaks of this reverence, it's the senses of a real carefulness. And the wonderful thing is this: when we have such a carefulness of God, with God and the things of God and the holiness and walking in righteousness, the care that was filling our hearts, the cares of this world, the worries of this world go. Because now it's as if our whole concern is now with having a carefulness with the things of God, the righteousness of God, the just walking in holiness before him, and then the cares of this world go. And it's this reverence and godly fear that will settle our hearts. Maybe your heart's been unsettled in recent times. Maybe things in your life even have just caused that peace, to waver. You're at peace and something's happened, and it's just caused you to question. It's caused you not to be at ease whereas once you were. And he says, just come again and see the glory of God. Because none of these things of this earth, none of these things are of real value. And God is bigger than everything else. He's bigger than everything else. You see, the problem is that sometimes we think that God is totally in need of us. We think that our resources, our gifts, God gives us something, and we say now that God is relying on me because he's given me this. He can take it away. He did with Job. He can give you something. He can give you something, and he can take it away. And he doesn't need that. He doesn't have to go to you and say, "Well, where's that gift? Where's that thing that I gave to you?" He doesn't need anything that we have. All the things that we have been given by God, so therefore he certainly doesn't need anything that we have. And yet when things are taken from us, for whatever, however they might have been taken from us, we get troubled, we get anxious, we're full of care, we're full of worry, our hearts are troubled, and we wonder, and we ask the questions, and he says, "No. Just understand, I'm shaking everything that can be shaken, so that all we've got is the kingdom. All you've got is the kingdom. All you've got is Christ, and it's just him. And if he has to destroy the temple in your life, and in my life, whatever that might be, he will destroy that temple. He will destroy the temple in my life, and he'll destroy the temple in your life, so that there is no stone left upon another." Why? Because he's more interested in you receiving the kingdom, receiving him, Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what he's interested in. And for us to be full of his grace. And then finally, it says, "Wherefore we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." It's that serving God. You see, when our lives are given over to God, then we're going to be free from fear. If I'm just serving God, if I'm just given over to God, my hands are in his hand, it's just living for God, then I just say, "Well, he will guide me, he will lead me, he'll direct me, he'll speak to me. I can just trust him. I don't have to trust in anything else. I'm just serving God. I've given myself over completely to God. It's nothing about me. I'm nothing. I'm less than nothing. If we got that into our hearts, that I'm less than nothing, because I've got nothing to bring. And if we could understand that, and we were just serving God, then we just say, "Well, my whole life is given over to God. Then I don't have to worry about anything, because my whole life is in his hands." And to realize that God is a consuming fire. You see, he's the God that burns up everything that is rubbish.
That's right.
He burns everything up that can be burnt up. We know that at the last day everything will be burnt up, and there'll be the new heavens and the new earth. We know that. But you see, God is still a consuming fire right now. It's not like, well, he once was a consuming fire, and he was the consuming fire in the Old Testament, and he was the consuming fire when Mount Sinai, and he's the consuming fire at the end of days when he returns. He's also the consuming fire right now. He's the one who says, "I will burn up everything. I will shake everything that can be shaken. I will." And we can say right now, we can say, "I don't understand. I don't understand what God's doing. I don't understand what God's doing in my life. I don't understand why these things are happening. I don't understand why the things are happening in the world." He says, "I'm bringing about my purposes." Why? Because I'm more interested in the kingdom of God in your life. I'm more interested in the grace of God in your life. And it's not even about your gifts, and it's not even about your talents, and it's not about what you can give to me. It's about Christ. It's just us being consumed with Christ. And this will bring us all into freedom. This will bring us all into peace. This will bring us all into rest. We want to live in victory. We want to be knowing the joy of the Lord. We want to know the joy of the Lord as our strength. Then to receive Christ in his fullness, in every room of our lives, Don't let us shut out, as it were, shut the door of a room in our life. It may be just one room, it may be one small room. Yeah. And we say, that room is for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want you, Lord, dealing with that room. He says, I want everything.
Yeah.
And he shakes everything until we're consumed with Christ. And Christ is filling us.